Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
You are listening to the Total Sports Recall Podcast, where you get sports from a different angle with a Pittsburgh twist. This program is being brought to you by NestEgg's 401k. The landscape for retirement has changed dramatically in the past decade. Now more than ever, business owners are looking for a 401k provider who can protect them from risk and make their company 401k easy to operate. Employees are looking for help with their personal finances from people they can trust, fiduciaries who don't sell products and don't get paid commissions. NestEgg's 401k can help. If you own a business and would like a review of your company 401k plan, or if you are an individual with greater than $500,000 in investable assets, NestEgg's would be happy to conduct a fiduciary review of your circumstances and provide you advice at no cost. Call NestEgg's today at 866-202-4646. Welcome to Total Sports Recall. I'm your host, Harv Aronson, and on this episode, we look back at the year 1969 and what it meant to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have had a statistic that I believe will never be broken. It's been 55 years since Art Rooney Sr. signed Chuck Knoll to a contract to be Pittsburgh's next head coach. An interesting fact, Rooney offered Penn State legend Joe Paterno a contract to be the coach, but Paterno turned it down. The stat I believe will test the stand of time is the fact that in 55 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers have had just three head coaches. Think about the other NFL teams that have gone through handfuls of head coaches in the last 55 years and then back to the Steelers. Three. In that time span, going back in history or looking to the future, this will never be done again. The other amazing thing is that these three coaches have brought home six Super Bowl titles, tied for the most ever. Despite having just one of these, Mike Tomlin is entering his 18th season and has never had a losing season. Not one season in 17 years has his teams finished under 500. That places him among the elite coaches of all time. On the recommendation of the Baltimore Colts head coach Don Shula, Art Rooney was told he should hire the Colts defensive coordinator and backfield coach at that time, 37-year-old Chuck Knoll. The chief took his advice and hired Knoll, making him the youngest head coach of that time. Knoll was a hard-nosed coach who led the team with an all-business attitude, primarily focusing on building a strong defense. That became obvious with his first ever draft pick, that being Mean Joe Green, who became the cornerstone of some of the greatest defenses in NFL history. Chuck Knoll had a nose for talent, and in his years at the helm from 1969 to 1991, he drafted a handful of future Pro Football Hall of Famers. Mel Blunt, Terry Bradshaw, Dermonte Dawson, Joe Green, Jack Ham, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert, John Stallworth, Lynn Swan, Mike Webster, and Rod Woodson. Knoll himself was also inducted in 1993. In 1974, Knoll and his staff conducted a draft class that has been called the greatest ever. In that selection process of 1974, the Steelers chose Lynn Swan with their first pick in the first round, 21st overall. Swan became a Super Bowl sensation and inducted into the Hall of Fame. In round two, they found a smallish linebacker by the name of Jack Lambert out of Kent State University. The rest is history, and Lambert had a stellar career and became one of the most menacing linebackers ever, as well as also becoming a Hall of Fame member. Incredibly, with the 82nd pick overall in the third round, John Stallworth was there for the taking, and perhaps because he came out of a smaller school, Alabama A&M, he was passed by. But he too would finish with his career as one of the all-time best and wide receiver and earned a yellow jacket at Canton, joining Swan and Lambert in the hallowed halls. Knoll and his staff did not stop with Stallworth. Also in the fourth round, they found Jimmy Allen, a good defensive back who didn't reach the talent levels of the men chosen before him. But round five saw Pittsburgh finding a needle in the haystack as unbelievably Mike Webster got passed by time after time and team after team. The Steelers happily drafted Iron Mike, and he would put together a career that may have made him one of the greatest centers in the history of the game. So not just Swan, Lambert, and Stallworth one day being inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, so was Webster giving Chuck Knoll four inductees from one single draft class that had never been done before Knoll and not since. And then there was the undrafted rookie Donnie Shell, who also has been inducted into the Hall of Fame. In Knoll's rookie season as head coach, it was a rough start. The team finished with just one victory, and that came on opening day when the Steelers defeated the Lions 16-13. The points the team's defense held Detroit to that day became the number of losses they would finish with, 13 consecutive losses, and that didn't worry Knoll. He knew he was building something special. The next season in 1870 produced an additional four wins, but it took the Steelers four more games to get Knoll just his second NFL victory, this one coming against the Buffalo Bills, and it was a good win, 23-10. The season concluded with three straight losses and a 5-9 record, but Knoll kept the faith. A season later, it was an improvement, albeit by just one game, a 6-8 finish. And while it appeared Knoll and the Steelers were taking baby steps to become winners, the reputation of being a losing team year after year had not yet diminished. Little did anyone know how special 1992 would be. From losing eight games the year before, all of a sudden the Steelers erupted in the AFC Central and won 11 of 14 games. And for the first time in their history, they made the playoffs. All the pieces of the puzzle the players Knoll had drafted since 1969 molded together to create a formidable team that in making the postseason for the first time was a legitimate threat. The Pittsburgh Steelers have always built primarily through the draft, but Knoll had a nose for talent. From 1969 to 1972, he found through the selection process not just that elite class of 1974, but men like L.C. Greenwood, who lasted until the 10th round of that first class for Knoll, perhaps again because he came from a small school named Arkansas Pine Bluff. John Kolb, a muscular offensive lineman who became a staple on the front lines of the offense line, was also in that 69 class. If not for the drafting of Terry Bradshaw in 1970, then maybe Terry Hanratty would have been the quarterback of record for the Steelers as he came in just one year before. As Bradshaw became the NFL's overall number one pick in 1970, thanks to the winning of a coin toss between George Halas and Art Rooney Sr., it was Pittsburgh, not Chicago, who landed the Blom Bomber. But joining Bradshaw in this class was yet another Steelers future Hall of Famer, Mel Blunt. 1971's draft would turn out more gems for Pittsburgh. Can you say Jack Ham? How about Dwight White? Mad Dog was also a 1971 draft alumnus. So was Larry Brown, originally a tight end, converted to an offensive tackle. Mike Wagner might not have had a bust in Canton, but he was an outstanding safety who also was drafted in that class. Wagner also played out of Western Illinois University, lasted all the way until the 11th round of the draft. As unthinkable as it sounds, while there was not four Hall of Famers like the 1974 class, 1971 may have been an overall better draft. That's because not just the names mentioned above came to Pittsburgh, but also drafted that year were Jerry, Moo Mullins, Frank Lewis is a very good wide receiver, who was actually the first round pick, and Arrowhead, Ernie Holmes. 1972 was a bit of a down year for the draft, given the success Knoll had up to that time, but he still found some great players who had a major impact. First and foremost was the number one pick, Franco Harris, who would be the hero of the 1972 season with his immaculate reception, game-winning touchdown over the Oakland Raiders in the opening round of the playoffs. Joining Franco in 1972 were Steve Furness and Jefferson Street Joe Gillum. Gordon Gravel was a decent player, as was backup linebacker Ed Bradley. All these men, along with the others who made up that 1972 team, put it all together that season and lost just three games in the regular season to the Bengals, 15-10, and Dallas, 17-13, and then Cleveland, 26-24. None of those losses were back-to-back, and the Steelers had streaks of 5 and 4 victories, those final four, to finish the season. The Steelers obviously won the AFC Central Division and faced a bitter rival in Oakland in the first round of the playoffs, their first postseason game ever. Heading into the fourth quarter of that game in Three River Stadium, Oakland had the lead by just a 7-6 score, and with barely any time on the clock, Terry Bradshaw threw a pass downfield that was intended for John Frenchie Fuqua, but instead, the ball deflected into the air where rookie Franco Harris made a shoestring catch and ran it downfield for a game-winning touchdown now known as the Immaculate Reception. That play has been voted as the greatest play in NFL history, but it swirls around with controversy because Raiders supporters will tell you the ball hit Fuqua, which by NFL rules of 1972 would have made that an illegal pass because a ball was not permitted to hit an offensive player and then advanced downfield by another offensive player. Fuqua has yet to this day to reveal who the ball hit, even though he can remember because he might not remember because he got blasted by Jack Tatum, which is why the Steelers supporters believe he was the source of the deflection, was Tatum. Either way, the Steelers won the game, and in the next round they faced the unbeaten Miami Dolphins, only to lose by a score of 21-17 as Miami would go on to remain undefeated and beat the Washington Redskins in the Super Bowl to become the only team in history to finish an entire season unbeaten and win the league title. But this was just a preview of what was about to come in ensuing seasons. In 1973, Oakland and Pittsburgh had once again in the playoffs, and this time the Raiders made sure they won the game without any question, taking it by a final score of 33-14. But then came 1974 and Lynn Swann's rookie season, as well as Lambert's, Stallworth, and Webster's. Along with those four, the Steelers finished 10-3 and advanced to their first Super Bowl ever, beating Minnesota for their first of six Lombardi trophies, 16-6. Pittsburgh repeated that next season and was one of few teams to win back-to-back Super Bowls. They probably would have won again in 1976 if not for the playoff injuries to Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer that sidelined them for the playoff loss into Oakland. There has never been a team that's won three straight Super Bowls, but the Steelers nearly came close. After a two-year absence from the big game, the Steelers were back in 1978, again winning the Super Bowl twice in a row. Chuck Noll became the first head coach to win four Super Bowls, and that 1979 championship team would be his last in 23 years as head coach of the Steelers. Chuck Noll's teams made the playoffs 12 times, including eight straight seasons when Pittsburgh won four Super Bowls in 6 years. Here's some food for thought. Since 1969, when the Steelers hired Chuck Noll, there have been just two other head coaches that followed in his footsteps, and we know that it's Bill Cowher and Mike Tomlin. That's three head coaches in 55 years. To appreciate that fact more, think about the Cleveland Browns. Since 1969 up through 2019, the Browns had gone through 15 different head coaches, not including interim coaches who took over until a replacement was found. So for an in-house comparison, Chuck Noll won 193 games for his career with the Steelers, losing 148 and tying once. That's 342 games and a winning percentage of .564. Bill Cowher would coach from 1992 to 2005, win one Super Bowl, and post a record of 149 wins, 90 losses, and one tie, equaling 240 games coached. His one-loss percentage was .620. Then came Mike Tomlin, who beat out Russ Grimm and Ken Wisenhunt for the job, and all Coach T has done is win. Through his first 275 games, Tomlin's teams have won 132 of those, and giving Tomlin a winning percentage of .629, the highest of the three coaches since 1969. In Bill Cowher's 15 season, his teams made the postseason 10 times, including his first six on the sidelines. Tomlin's teams have been to the playoffs 11 times in 17 seasons. So for the critics of Mike Tomlin, you have to give him credit for his record and having won a Super Bowl as well as being there for two. Add up the wins and losses for the three coaches Pittsburgh has had since 1969, and you get a record of 507 wins, 330 losses, and five ties, and a one-loss percentage of .605. In the last 55 years, the Pittsburgh Steelers have made it to the postseason 33 times, won the Super Bowl six times, and made the Super Bowl eight times. Not too shabby. The bottom line is that credit must go to Chuck Noll, as the late and great announcer Myron Cope referred to him as Emperor Chaz, for the winning attitude and foundation of how to build a winner in Pittsburgh, a trend that began in 1972 and despite some offseason continues 55 years later this year. Sadly, Chuck Noll passed away on June 13, 2014, but he left behind a legacy as the head coach for four Super Bowl championship teams. Noll gave way to Bill Cowher, who turned the keys over to Mike Tomlin, and three coaches in 55 years, all proven winners. Amazing. That will do it for this episode of Total Sports Recall. Be sure to email me with any comments at totalsportsrecall@gmail.com. Until next weekend, this is Harv Aronson wishing everyone a wonderful week ahead.
The contents of this podcast do not represent the opinions of others and are solely the opinions of Harv Aronson based on his experience, knowledge, and research.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.